This is an RNIB Connect radio podcast.
Hello, I'm Jonathan Arbrough, an avid and intrepid traveller. From scuba diving to jungle trekking, skydiving to glacier walking, I have travelled to all seven continents of the world. I have crossed the Arctic and Antarctic circles, stood with my feet on either side of the equator, and climbed to the top of Mount Kilimanjaro. Being diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa and going blind have not stopped my travels, just changed the way in which I experience them. As I share some of my adventures with you, I hope this will encourage you to try some travels of your own. Today, we're heading off towards our train and an incredible feat of engineering that will take us up into the Swiss Alps. We joined the throng of people at the Bernina train station. It was buzzing with excitement for the start of the train journey. Amazingly though, in our normal carriage, there were so few of us that we did not have to choose which side to sit. We all had enough space to have both sides to ourselves, so could rush from one side to the other as the views changed. We started by travelling down a street in Tirana where the buildings were practically next to the train itself. It reminded me of when we travelled on the train through Train Street in Vietnam, in Hanoi, where the buildings were so close that they had to whip their tables away from the side of the train tracks as the train was approaching. We then very quickly crossed the border into Switzerland and into the country and the most incredible unfolding views that lay ahead of us. This train line is quite a feat of engineering. It takes us from Tirana, which is at 429 meters above sea level, to the highest point of the Bernina Pass, which is 2,253 meters above sea level. For me, one of the most exciting parts of this engineering was crossing the helical viaduct. It's a spiral viaduct that was an ingenious invention for those times. In 1908, at the time of steam engines, it was believed that no train could go up a gradient higher than 5%. Anything more than that would require a cograil. Well, this train, with this spiral aqueduct, and along with the fact that thanks to the hydroelectric power available, was electrified from the start, meant that we were going up a 7% gradient. Now, to put that into perspective, every kilometer you travel forward, you travel up 70 meters in altitude. That is a huge gradient increase. And for the time, a 20 meter gradient rise higher than they thought achievable with any train other than a cogwheel. So these engineers really knew what they were doing. And so we continued via lots more spiral loops, 55 tunnels, and 196 bridges to take us along this entire journey. I guess that, given how excited I get by all of this information, means that perhaps I'm a bit of a train nerd as well. The views Annie was describing to me were beautiful. From the growing closer mountains with their snow caps, to the giant lakes that we ran along for quite some time. Obviously, these were part of the hydroelectric power system. And then looking down into a valley where Annie was describing the most magnificent icy blue-green water, it must have been the most amazing color to see. And despite not being able to see any of this, I was kind of pressing myself against the windows, trying to will my eyes to see something, knowing that they wouldn't. And although I couldn't see anything, I built the most beautiful, magnificent, amazing pictures in my head. And just speaking about it now takes me straight back there and thinking about climbing these steep mountainsides and snow along the ground, trees and bushes and shrubs all poking through the snow, at other parts completely covered in white. We passed through a number of small towns and villages, and with some of them again, our railway line sharing the roadways, so that we were so close to the buildings that Annie could really admire the old stone buildings and architecture. And there were so many churches dotted both in the towns and all over the countryside that she really got to see a very different form of life. As we climbed, we saw the farmlands give way to terraces and then natural vegetation as we headed for the higher parts of the mountain. Another incredible feat of engineering along this journey and one of the most famous railway overpasses in the world, is the Landwasser Viaduct, which is 136 meters long. And the pillars that hold it up are towering at 65 meters high. It's a magnificent sight for anyone, not just railway enthusiasts or train geeks, as maybe some of you will now start calling me. We chose Ulpgrim at 2,091 meters above sea level for our first stop, a coffee stop, of course. It's a town only accessible by train or foot, so we thought that was a good place to get off the train for the first time. The station cafe had a terrace of forever, with the curving train line that we had just climbed below us and the mountains and valleys heading off into the distance meant that we first had to take photos of everything, of the views, of the trains, and even some of us. As most people on the train were in the fancy carriages, they had to continue on after a short stop, and that left just the two of us alone on this terrace with this magnificent view, sitting drinking our coffee. We really had to tear ourselves away from us as the next train that we wanted to catch came up the curving line below us. Of course, we were well rewarded as the world around us turned even more white. And it's quite fascinating how the Bernina Express pass that we were crossing is also one of the language barriers of Switzerland. Italian is spoken in the area that we had just climbed through on this train ride. Then, in this area, Romansh, which is an ancient language, is still an official language of this region. German is spoken to the north of the divide, and French in the west. So, as we continued along this journey, we had passed through three of the four language areas of Switzerland. Quite fascinating to think how many different languages one small country like Switzerland can have. As we continued over the snowy landscape, we passed through smaller towns, some stops that seemed to be just a few buildings and a cable car for skiers. We also passed an enormous 16 square kilometer Moderach Glacier. Of course, Annie had to take a number of photos of this, but to be honest, she spent a lot more time just sitting enjoying these incredible views, because what camera can really do them justice? Having them in your memory, and for me, having Annie describing them to me so that I have these pictures in my memory, you can't do more than that with a camera. We could not resist the temptation of playing in all the snow, so we chose Pontresina at 1,740 meters as our next stop. A short walk from the station and we could walk up the end of a ski run. So weird that a ski run ends at the road. It's almost as though you get to the end, take off your skis, and then depending where the next cable car is, walk or catch a bus or a taxi and head off up the mountain to go skiing again. Quite something. It was hilarious as we walked along the snow and all of a sudden we found ourselves over knee deep in snow. It was lovely, such fun behaving like children in this white snowy world. Of course, a few snowballs had to be thrown. As we were walking back down, we heard the sound behind us. It turned out to be a skier coming down the run and we had to step out of his way so that he could pass us by. It's a bit surreal doing something like that. We found a bench to sit on and admire the beauty all around us. It's wonderful how the quiet seems to come with snow. And to be able to sit and enjoy it just quietly on a bench in the sunshine, it's something I so enjoy doing. Join me next time as we head for the famous ski town of St. Moritz.